The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
John Gibbons for our weekly environment spot. Tell us about the government's plan to make our rivers and lakes better than they are, to reduce the amount of pollution in them.
Yeah, good evening, Matt. This is just published, the Water Action Plan 2024, released today by Malcolm Noonan, the Minister for State. And I suppose the idea really here is, by European standards, we have reasonably good water quality. But given our low population and our extensive waterways and our huge amounts of rainfall, we should have very good water quality, but we don't. So the question really is, why don't we have it? What are the sticking points in getting good water quality, and how do we go about fixing it? So the key thing really that's been missing, Matt, from the whole piece on water quality is enforcement. We have all kinds of regulations. We're great in Ireland, as you know, at regulations. Not so great at enforcement. So to start, really, what changes here, what Malcolm Noonan has promised...
Well, sorry, let's go to what are the causes of the problems in our water, particularly leading to things like excessive algae growth in our lakes and on our rivers?
Sure. Okay, the key thing that causes deterioration in water quality in Ireland is what's called excessive nutrients. So in simple terms, that means too much nitrogen, too much phosphorus in the waterways. So looking at a chart here in front of me from the EPA, May 2024. So basically they see about 1,000 water bodies that principally affected by agriculture. The next on that is just over 400 by what's called hydromorphology, which is basically to do with the shape of the river flow and the river catchment system. After that, forestry is actually the number three impact. After that is what they call unknown. Number five is urban wastewater. So we've got a number of pressures, Matt, but
I just want to clarify here, because I don't want the farmers saying that you are picking on them again because you have an anti-farmer agenda. You are going to the Environmental Protection Report and you're actually holding it up to me now to let me see that agriculture has an enormously bigger contribution than any other sector.
Yeah, and in a sense, Matt, that's not to be expected. That's to be expected, because obviously farms abut rivers all over the country, far more than any other sector. So it isn't unexpected that agriculture would be a pressure on water systems. But what's disappointing is that it is not only is it not getting better, it's not really improving at all. And that's the key thing. So what the EPA said about this is they said their assessment shows no significant improvement nationally in the biological quality of rivers and lakes in 2022, largely attributable to excess nitrogen and phosphorus, right? They say overall nitrogen levels in rivers and groundwater increased between 2021 and 2, with nitrogen being too high in 40% of river sites and in 20% of estuaries. So basically, we're using too much nitrogen on our land. That land is washing off either directly through rainfall, washing into our rivers and streams, also through cattle's urine. It's making its way into those water streams. When we get excessive nitrogen levels building up in our rivers, and of course, Matt, famously, we've seen what's happened in Loch Ness in Northern Ireland. Essentially, these nutrients, they feed algae within the water systems. Those algae bloom, and in so doing, they consume all the oxygen in the river or the estuary, and they lead to what we would typically call a fish kill, or in this case, the total, in the case of Loch Ness, the total greening of the whole aquatic system, which basically means death for that water system.
Great, listener comments coming in. We have raw sewage flowing into our rivers. Is it any wonder this is in Newport and Mayo, and it's been like this for years?
Sure, absolutely. We have different pressures, but as I say, the statistics don't lie. The number one pressure, and by the way, the number one source of raw sewage in Ireland, of course, again, is livestock. Obviously, there were 40 million tons of animal slurry produced in Ireland. Obviously, we also have a problem, Matt. For example, we have over 400,000 one-off houses in Ireland. Those houses, each of them basically has its own septic tank. Many of those septic tanks, in fact, more than 50% in the most recent survey, were found to be defective. That means sewage from those septic tanks is making its way into the groundwater. So your listener is right. We have different pressures. We have pressures from agriculture. We have pressures from industry. We have pressures from forestry. And indeed, we have pressures from urban wastewater, the sewage that he referred to. You're absolutely right.
This listener says, what about the daft calendar farming rules for slurry spreading, forcing farmers to spread more than they need to when the dates are open and not allowed to spread when ground and weather conditions are right?
And I would have sympathy for that, because the issue, of course, we're seeing is much more intense rainfall, and it's much more difficult, Matt, these days for farmers to figure out when it's going to rain, when it's not going to rain. This, again, is to do with our sort of changing climate system. So it is getting more difficult. But really what's driving this is they've got to get rid of vast quantities of slurry from our huge livestock herd. And guess what? A lot of that is ending up in our waterways.
Yeah, but a lot of people are pointing out that a lot of the fish kills this year, particularly in places like Cork, were nothing to do with agricultural emissions. They were actually the fault of the councils themselves.
That's right. And we've always
had... And we discussed that in this programme.
That's right, Matt. And they tend to be quite dramatic. And they're the ones that grab the headlines where, say, 2,000 fish or whatever kill in a particular spot and we can connect it to a particular incident. Absolutely. But the slow death of our waterways is through rising levels of nutrients. And I would point out to your listeners that only one country in the European Union still allows nitrates derogations for its farmers to allow them to use levels of nitrogen above the level scientifically that we know is safe. And Matt, in a sense, it's a bit like having a nitrate level. Sounds kind of technical. It's a bit like speed limits. We have speed limits for a reason. We have nitrate ceilings for a reason. But in Ireland, we've gotten special rules to exempt us from these ceilings.
Yeah, but there are listeners saying that enormous work has been done on a farm level in the last few years and it takes time for results to show. There are less animals in Ireland than there were in 1983, for example, says this listener, and less chemical fertiliser has been used in the last 2 years.
Again, there's some serious efforts at cherry picking there. We're producing far more intensively. Agricultural production has risen, particularly in the dairy sector, has risen intensively. The data that they're referring to back in the early 80s was a much more extensive system. And I suspect somebody who knows that also knows that they're being mischievous with their data. So I'm always very sceptical about that. They know full well that we have intensified our agricultural system, particularly at the dairy level. We're seeing this in pressure, Matt, on our waterways all over, especially in the southeast of Ireland.
But yet, the Climate Change Advisory Council issued a report this year, and I put it to Eamon Ryan yesterday when he was in the studio with us, and it's not looking to reduce the size of what's called the national herd. I mean, it's all individual farmers and their contribution to an overall number rather than something that is a national herd. But the Climate Change Advisory Council seems to think that by better processes, we don't actually have to reduce the amount of livestock.
Yeah, I read the Advisory Council's report today with great interest. And I'm going to take you back to 2020. There was an independent review done of the CCAC in 2020, and it concluded that the involvement of CHAGIST, which is the Agricultural Research Agency, on the council represented what's called a sectoral interest. And they said the risks of having this sectoral interest or lobbying interest involved outweighed the benefits on the CCAC. So their recommendation is that CHAGIST, which is far too closely allied to particularly livestock interests in Ireland, should not be on the CCAC. Now, this comes to light then the following year, in 2021, Mary Donnelly, who's the chair of the CCAC, she told the Oireachtas committee, she said the national cattle herd, quote, may well have to become government policy to cut that herd. She said this is the only way we can go further faster is to reduce activity. She said this is a nice way of saying the national cattle numbers will have to reduce.
So she's changed her mind.
She has. Well, funnily enough, normally we change our mind when the data changes. But nothing has happened between Mary Donnelly making that statement in 2021 and the situation we find ourselves in 2024. This to me is...
Maybe it's mature reflection on her part.
Well, it's something. For example, she was on Morning Ireland yesterday morning, and she was asked about dietary shift, because this is sort of slightly alluded to in this report. And incredibly, her answer to dietary shift was, maybe in Ireland we should use less sugar. Now, by the way, the CCAC is not there to give us advice on diet one way or the other. What is meant by dietary shift, as advised by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which, by the way, is supposed to be the job of the CCAC, is about emissions reductions, not sugar. What we're supposed to be looking at, how do we get our emissions down? I think we have a real problem with the CCAC chair, who doesn't, for example, seem to believe that, and I've read again through their key recommendations, it's a whole bunch of CHAGIS stuff about twiddle this and diddle that. Now, I'll put it to you, Matt, very simply. You and I have talked about this in this studio many times. Why have agricultural emissions gone up over the last decade? They went up because we drastically and rapidly increased and added an extra 400,000 to 500,000 intensive dairy cattle to the system. Now, that drove up emissions. Now, emissions need to come down by 25% by 2030. This is not going to happen. Now, Mary Donnelly knows or should know, and if she doesn't know, she's in the wrong job, that this isn't happening. And let me just tell you the great progress that we're making in agriculture at the moment. Between 2018 and 2023, that's a 5 to 6 year period, we've had emissions reductions of 2.9%. That's 0.5% a year. That would mean that to get to our target, we need about another 50 years. We've actually got 6 years. So if the CCAC, by the way, which is supposed to be giving independent advice to the government, if the best that they can do is to rehash Chagas talking points that have already been debunked, we really have a problem.
Okay, listener says, Ireland's climate is perfect for grass growth. Humans cannot eat grass, so farmers use machines called cows to convert this natural resource to food that humans can eat. If we put restrictions on grass for food production, Ireland will be forced to produce other food, which will require far more inputs than grass.
Yeah, again, this is... It sounds like another from the cherry-picking brigade. They're out in strength this afternoon. Look, Ireland is capable of producing many things. About 30% of our land is perfectly capable. We have some of the best tillage land in the world. And what we've done essentially is turned all of that land over to the production of one crop, which of course is monoculture ryegrass. So there is a role for grass in Ireland. There is a role for livestock. But as we've said many times on this programme, the issue isn't livestock. It's too much of one system. And I would ask that listener, do you think it's okay that Ireland imports 85% of all the fruit, all the vegetables, and most, by the way, of the cereals that we produce in this country or that we consume in this country? So most of what you get, Matt, when you go to your local supermarket in Ireland, the food island, you're buying imported food.
Well, a listener says, spare a thought for the poor Irish tillage farmer who is virtually carbon neutral but is undercut by imports produced to a lesser standard.
I agree with them. I absolutely would be a big champion of the hard-pressed tillage farmer in Ireland. And not only that, at the moment, the hard-pressed tillage farmer is finding that when he wants to lease land, he's been outgunned by the dairy farmers who are snapping up land all over the country and putting our tillage farmers further into the corner. And there is a thing to say as well, just on that, Matt. Most of what we produce in our tillage sector, you'll never guess what it's for. Animal feed.
Thank you very much, John Gibbons.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.